Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Three, welcome to every single person. If it's your first time at the Outlet Community, God bless you so much from the bottom of all of our hearts. On behalf of myself, I'm Vince, and my lovely wife, Ashley, we thank you for spending part of your Sunday and really investing into your Sunday with the Outlet Community today. If you're listening to us for the very first time on our podcast, thank you. If you're a return listener, welcome back. And I'm extremely excited to continue this conversation on Soul Therapy Volume 2. And our text scripture is found in Psalm 23. And it's really on purpose because I want the majority of us, if you've been in church or if you had someone in your family who went to church, Psalm 23 was one of the first passages of scripture that not only did you hear, but you learned and then you could possibly quote. And I believe the Lord wants us to take us back over familiar areas to show us new insights and new truths. In order to really build upon your Christian walk, sometimes it's not about learning completely new things, but it's making sure you know what you know already. And in Psalm 23, we'll read the entire chapter here. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "He lets me rest in the green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength." Everybody say, "He renews my strength." "He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to open up your word and to open up your scripture today. You knew all the hearts and lives that would be here and listening to this message. God, I ask for a specific word for each person that's here, something that they can apply to their life. I trust in the power of Holy Spirit today, not in the intellect of myself. Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, direct us. Rest with a fresh fire on us as you did on the day of Pentecost. Renew all of our hearts and the passion that we have toward you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen, amen. If you haven't already, you can follow us along in the YouVersion Bible app. Just search the Outlet Community. All of my notes will be there today. But before we hop into new information, I wanted to go through a brief review to make sure that we're all on the same page and that I can build upon a foundation so that what I'm going to lay today makes sense for everyone that's here. And so what you all see up on the screen is a diagram of the three-part nature of man, the foundational truth. There are three foundational truths that I want to share with you all. Number one, we are a three-part being. You are a spirit who possesses a soul, and you live in a physical body. So it's very important for you to understand that you are a spirit. And for every person who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, your spirit entered covenant with God's spirit. And so there was a, for a lack of better term, there was a marriage ceremony with your spirit and God's spirit. Not a human marriage ceremony, but a spiritual marriage ceremony was that where there was a fusion of you and God's spirit so that there's no longer a way for you to separate the two, but yet you're one in spirit with God. However, you have a soul, and your soul is your mind, which are your thoughts, your will, your decisions, your desires, and your emotions or your feelings. You possess those. And that kind of sits in the middle. That sits at the core. It sits at when the Bible calls the heart, the center of our world. We have to understand that our soul also is interchanged as heart. So when you see heart in the scripture, it's actually referring most times to the soul of man. It's referring to the mind, the will, and the emotions. And that actually was a new insight when we talked about it on last year. I, for a long time, thought that when the word talked about heart, it was specifically talking about my human spirit. But in the word, heart is more times than not translated soul or the center of yourself. Your heart is, and I really think I need to do a quick review on what the heart is. The heart or your soul is a door, meaning you can receive information, you can receive insight, you can receive things, but you also from that place can put out things. So in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, it's not what enters a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out. Or in the book of Proverbs, we see out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So we have to understand that even though things may come to us, thoughts may come to us, feelings may come to us, it's not what comes to us, but how we respond to what comes to us that counts. And so sometimes people condemn themselves because they're feeling a certain way, they're thinking a certain way, just there's a lot going on in their soul, and they think that there has to be something spiritually wrong with me because I'm this way. I've been saved, I've been a Christian, I've been following God a long time, yet I have these habits, so maybe there's something wrong with my salvation. But I submit to you, it's all about the information that we put on the inside of our heart. So our soul is important. That is the reason why we are having a series called Soul Therapy. Your soul, the center of you, is the filter to your life. So if I had a bottle of water, which I do up here, and this is purified water because Sam's told me so. If I had a filter on the top of this bottle of water and it had dirt on the filter and I took a swig of water, don't mind if I do. If it tastes like dirt, is it the water's fault? It's not the water's fault, is it? Where did the dirt taste come from? The filter. So I could equate your spirit to this purified bottle of water. And so when life doesn't seem like it's going right, is it because there's something wrong with my spirit? There's something wrong with the filter or the mind that we now have to work on. We now have to go into therapy for. And we'll talk more about that today. The second truth that I want you all to know, because the soul and the spirit are so intertwined. Now, as you see on this screen, they're compartmentalized up on the screen for the purpose of illustration, the purpose of teaching. But in life, our spirit, soul, and body are more fused than we see on that screen. And so sometimes we have to know, is this God, is this me, is this the devil? How do I know if it's God, if it's me, or if it's the devil? How do I know this is the Lord leading me in this direction? How do I know the Lord wants me to do this, or how do I know the Lord wants me to do that? How do I know this is there's a difference between condemning ourselves and then a convicting unction from Holy Spirit? Those two are two totally different things. But if I don't know how to separate my spirit from my soul, I can take God's love and filter it as God's punishment. So the second truth I want you to know, the Word of God is the only tool that can separate, is this from God or is this from me? It's the Word of God. And I want to tell you something. What I'm learning in walking out this Christian life, if it's something that I don't want to do and requires me to stretch, that came from the Lord. If it's something that's easy, low-hanging fruit, and I get a level of personal satisfaction without any level of sacrifice, that came from me. The third thing I want you all to know before we begin is that you know in your spirit. So your spirit knows all things. That's good news. Anybody have any questions about life and what's next and what do I do and what's to come? Anybody have any questions about all of that? I want to tell you some good news right now that in your spirit, you have the answer right now. But we have to believe the answer in our soul. And if our soul has not had any therapy, any renewing, you'll live and die without accessing everything that you already needed. We saw last week that the Lord is your shepherd. You have all you need. So now I've got to believe that. But where does that come from? It comes from the Spirit. So as we're still looking at the chart up on the board, I want you to understand the fight or the battle of your life. And that is the body contacts the physical world, our five senses. This physical body is what interacts with the earthly, which is also the temporary realm. And many times we make decisions off of the stimuli that we receive from a temporary place. Have you ever heard, don't make a permanent decision in a temporary situation? Well, the same thing is true when we begin to filter information through our senses. We can't make a permanent decision off of temporary information. So what God wants us to do during this series is switch our belief system and our value system from placing credence on our senses to placing more credence on what we get from Holy Spirit and inside of our human spirit. But this is going to require that we renew our mind. This is going to require that we evaluate our priorities. Whatever you value is what you will prioritize. Now, I'm not making a knock on any person or anything or anyone, but I'm just making an observation. Can we have an observation together, everyone? All right. For me, I'm going to start with me first, and then I'll come out to everyone else. Last year, my brother blessed me with one of the best gifts I could have ever received, and that was playoff tickets to the first playoff game at SunTrust Park with the Atlanta Braves versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, it was just, you couldn't have asked for a better gift from a better brother in all the world. Well, here's one thing. The game started at 7:10. What time did we start making our way to SunTrust Park? No, 2 o'clock. Why? We gotta park. We want to experience everything that comes along with the playoff atmosphere. We want to make sure our seats are great, get our selfies, you know, make sure that we are squared away so that we can be there for the national anthem. Now, I talked about me first, because I'm coming now for concerts, all right? There were particular concerts last year at Mercedes-Benz. I'm not saying names because she ain't paying me, and I saw what her hive does to people, so I'm not saying nothing on this stage. But I will say, if we all have said artists in our mind, we began rearranging, especially if we paid for the ticket. We might not have been able to afford the ticket, but we found a way to pay for the ticket. And once we put our value in the ticket, we began to rearrange our day to maximize the ticket. Because if I'm going to pay this much, if y'all ain't giving me a discount on my mortgage or my light bill afterwards, I'm going to get all I can get out of this particular concert. So I rearranged my day. I'm severely inconvenienced with the lines, but it doesn't matter because I know I'm going to get the show of a lifetime. So I want to show you that you're actually able already to tap into your best life ever, but you just have to realign certain habits and behaviors to line up with the priorities that God prioritizes. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We are going to engage in some soul therapy this morning. Romans chapter 12, and verse 1, and for this scripture, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Paul writing here, he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God." So when we're born again, our spirits became one with the Lord. But God does not control your soul or your body. God doesn't control someone else's soul, free will, or someone else's body. God has a relationship with your human spirit, and then is praying and is desiring for you to take the truth that you have in your spirit and allow it to renew yourself from the inside out to your mind, your will, your emotions. When I change my mind, my will, my emotions, it then will change my actions. And so holiness is not about do good to be good. Holiness is about God made you good. Therefore, when your mind is renewed to the truth that you are good, you'll start doing better. We scare people by saying, without holiness, no man, woman, boy, girl shall see the Lord. Well, that is true, but we have to have the right definition of holiness. The proper definition of holiness is, holiness means that I became one in my spirit the moment I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And guess what? That moment you accepted Christ, you became holy. Because your spirit, the spirit part of you, is the eternal part of you. It's the forever part of you. Again, if I'm making a decision, would I want to make a decision off of something that is temporary? Or do I want to make a decision off of something that's eternal? All right, this is a lesson for the whole class. When you're making a decision, do you want to make a decision based off of something temporary, or do you want to make a decision based off of something eternal or cannot change? Eternal and cannot change. So when God looks at you and your identity from God is not based in what you do. Your identity is not based in what you think. Your identity is not based in how you feel. The way God sees you is based in your spirit. So what that means is when you took on and were married and God being the leader of that covenant, that means you took on his name. Not with a hyphen either. You took on his name and that's it. The two became one. So they're no longer two, but one. The reason why God gave us marriage is to help us understand even deeper a personal relationship with God. What it means for someone to give their life so the other person can have the best opportunities possible. That's the reason why marriage was instituted. So when it comes to your identity with God and you take on his name, do you know one of the names of God is holy? So if you took on God's name, then what does that mean you need to call yourself? Your mind is telling you, better not say you holy. Don't lie in the house of God. Come on, say, I'm holy. Oh, that felt kind of rough because you begin to think about the stuff that you think and do. But again, your identity is not based on what you think and do. It's about, we have to change our belief system because what you think and do is based off of the body, the earthly realm. Who you are comes from the spirit. So if I'm one with God, that means it says that God is perfect. Somebody say, I'm perfect. Y'all laughed at that. That was like, that's laughable right there. Perfect means complete. God is the only one who has perfection, but you are perfect or complete in him. You see how we need to now say the truth that's already in our spirit and tell our mind that I am going to believe what the Spirit says, not what I feel. So I want you all to say this. Say, I am perfect. All right, that was a little better. Y'all ready for a big one? Say, I have a perfect relationship with God. That's tough. Because again, your soul, how you think, how you feel, the decisions you made have tried to tell you that that's your identity. But where does your identity or your name come from? Your spirit. So when I can get you to believe who you already are, it's going to change how you think about yourself. When you change how you think about yourself, you'll change how you feel about yourself. When you change the way you feel about yourself, you'll change the decisions that you make. When you change the decision that you make, you change the life that you live. But it's not something that you're trying to get. It's something when you accept Christ, you have. And Satan is going to fight you tooth and nail so that you don't believe the truth that's already in you. So we need to evaluate our priorities. We need to understand that God wants us to present our bodies to Him, which means that I need to believe the truth in my spirit and allow it to change how I act. Let's keep reading in, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's keep reading. I want you all to see this. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living living in holy sacrifice. Everybody say living. Living doesn't mean dead, meaning your body needs to be presented daily because your body is alive. Your body has a choice. And as my wife shares with me all the time, when God says that we are to be a living sacrifice, that means we can hop off the altar that we presented ourselves to God to. Like, God, I give myself away, not today, and go back the other way. But every day we have to make a decision that, okay, I am going to commit myself to the truth I know in my spirit. It says, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is the true way to worship Him. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior or customs of the world. Again, natural stimuli. Stimuli, information that comes from the body or the senses. That's not what you emulate your life after. It's the easiest thing to emulate. But that's not what you're to emulate if you want to get spiritual results. You can't put in only from the carnal, the natural world, and expect spiritual results. The question has to be, how bad do you want it? Because it's on you. The power is in your hands. How much of a submitted life do you desire to live before God? And when you answer and you're honest about that, then your behaviors will change. But I would caution you that the type of message series that we're teaching is I'm going to give you a host of truth and bring the power back to you. So from this point forward, as you're listening to all the word that goes forward, you determine the quality of your life based off the truth you're willing to live out in your life. It's going to be totally based on what you want. What kind of life do you envision yourself having? And that means how much of the natural way, the earthly way, the way that I can feel and see with my senses, how much of that am I willing to give up to allow the truth of God's word to come through me? It says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Here's a quick quiz. What information, what truth, where will He pull that information and truth from to change the way you think? Ask that question again. Where will He pull that truth from to change the way that you think? Let me do multiple choice. I know y'all don't like short answer. We're going to do multiple choice. Is it going to be the natural world in your body? Is He going to pull the information from your senses, what you taste, what you see, what you hear? No, He's not. He's going to pull the truth that you need to change the way that you think from where? Your spirit. His word that he places inside of your spirit. But if he fights you from getting in his word, what will you be aware of that you can use to change how you think or your soul? So whatever you spend the most time with, if it's in the body, that's what's going to change your thoughts. That's what's going to change your feelings. Man. I'm going to say a radical truth right now. I feel like I need to share this with you. I need to shock you just to show you how radical this is. All right. Y'all ready? Okay, here we go. God help me. All right, recently, not too long ago, I said that you identified how? By your what? Spirit, soul, or body? By your spirit, right? That's where you get your identity from. That's where you identify with, correct? Okay. Can we agree that we live in a fallen world? Can we agree that we live in a sinful world, that everyone born into this world after Adam was born with a natural propensity to sin easily? All right. That's a part of the world that we're living in. So can someone be born a liar? Is lying a sin? Yeah. Can someone be born a stealer? Yeah. Stealing's a sin. Again, born into sin. Can someone be born an adulterer? Born a fornicator? Oh, yeah, it's a part of sin. Can someone be born gay? Yes, because it's a part of the sin world. I want to show you something powerful. That's how you were born. All of us, including myself, were born into sin. So I could have been born with any of those things I just named. With my sin nature, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So any of the names or labels that society has given, I could have been born and may have been born with either one, if not all of them. But the moment I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, Romans 5:17, just as sin passed upon all through one man, Adam, how much more the gift of a right relationship with God has passed to everyone through Jesus Christ? What am I saying? The moment I accept Christ, it completely changes my identity as to where I'm identified with in my spirit. Okay? But in order for me to see the change that took place, I need to renew my soul so I don't have the same outputs that I had when I wasn't born again. Which means that if I accepted Jesus Christ, the term that we would say is that I am now a what? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Can we agree to that? And that was given to me by the gift of Jesus Christ. I can't earn that. You can't earn salvation. But that's in my spirit. But if I don't put any new information in my soul, I am going to be a born again, holy, perfect, without sin Christian with homosexual tendencies. I told y'all I was coming for it today. You see how radical that way of thinking is? Because people would say your identity is determined by what you do, how you act. But we tell people all the time, you are not your job. So if that's true in one arena, it has to be true in every arena. Meaning that I now have to change the information that I'm receiving to change my behavior. If because of what I do, I call myself a sinner, then anytime I mess up, I'm going to go deeper into a hole of condemnation. But watch how we have to change the way that we identify with truth. I may have done something wrong, but what I did is not who I am. But if I lie to someone and say that this is your identity, this is how you identify, then I can shape how you think. If I can shape how you think, I can shape how you feel. If I can shape how you feel, I can shape how you choose. If I can shape how you choose, I shape how you live. So the biggest tool Satan has used is a religious mindset that has condemned people with homosexual tendencies who've accepted Jesus Christ. The best thing that we can do is remind them of who they are and help them with their behavioral patterns and get to the core as to why they act the way that they act. But if I condemn them, if I tell them that they are sinners and in danger of hellfire, then they are going to believe that they actually are a homosexual and will continue to act in that way and think that there is no hope. The only thing that will do, I'm really going to be radical this morning, y'all. The only thing that does, because again, last week I showed you all, and during our radical series last year, I constantly showed you all, because I want you to get this in your heart, because this is going to help you deal with the world today. Like, we can't be in this little bubble and act like stuff don't go on. We need to have the truth of God's word, minister his grace, but also maintain his truth. Here's the truth about living in an alternate lifestyle. If you're born again, your eternity is... you're going to heaven, but your choices may send you there sooner, and you're not going to live the quality of life that your spirit is crying out to live. So instead of turning up our nose at people who may have a different lifestyle than we do, think about all the different stuff you do with your lifestyle. And realize that we all are in need of a Savior. And every day we are all in need of being a living sacrifice, getting upon the altar of the Word of God and allowing Him to renew us from the inside out. This truly helps me when I talk to people, because my propensity... my sin. Can I talk about my sin? Hallelujah. It was radical. My sin that I deal with is overeating. Well, the Lord is loosing here. Hallelujah. It's coming for you. My sin is overeating. But that's celebrated. They make restaurants so you can do that. But if it's more than what Holy Spirit says I should do, it's not right for me. And so whenever, and this is going to help you listen to people with a heart of empathy, because I don't judge myself. In fact, I feel great. In fact, I feel at home. In fact, it's coping with something deeper that's going on the inside of me. So when I listen to someone who may sin differently than me, I put myself in their shoes by having empathy, so that I could then say, okay, I could understand how you could get in that situation. But here's the truth. If I keep eating that way on a consistent basis for the rest of my life, I am going to lessen the quality of life that God wants me to have. Same way with any sin that's out there. So instead of being a judge because you don't sin in that particular way, think about where you need to renew your mind at. So let's end here. God's transformation process is about progression, not perfection. Because the hard work is heart work. Because when you're actually putting in the hard work of understanding what's going on inside of you, I want you to know that progress does not always look or feel like progress. In fact, when you're really making change, change hurts. So there's a pain that comes with progress. In 2017, my wife's parents had a once in 75 year flood that hit their home. Completely anything that was from the floor all the way to about 4 to 5 feet up was completely gone. And everything they owned in their life was in their house. And because they figured that whatever rule she had, it was, you know, if I'm not going to use it, let me put it on the floor. And so all of her belongings, all of her precious material, all of the things that she had accumulated over the years, they both had accumulated over the years within that flood, were gone. But I want to show you an exciting picture, or exciting pictures. Here's a silver lining. They have flood insurance. And so what you all are seeing is the actual renovation process that took place on the inside of their existing home. Does that look good? It looks ugly, doesn't it? Looks messy, doesn't it? But is it better than the series of pictures I showed you before? We have to renew our mind from saying that if it causes me an inconvenience, then it's bad. When you go deep into who you are as it relates to how you think, how you feel, and what you choose, you're going to find some ugly truth. You're going to notice some ugly things that are residing deep on the inside. You're going to notice coping mechanisms that you've employed so that you didn't have to deal with those areas. But when you do deal with those areas and you pull out everything that's on the inside of you, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get messy. You're going to find out that you aren't as perfect as you thought you were from a natural sense. But I want you to know, every time you identify something that doesn't look pretty, you're making progress. Even if it's painful, it's still progress. But in going through their process, they ended up getting a brand new home from the inside out. Sometimes it's going to get ugly. Sometimes things are going to get tough. Sometimes you're going to have to sit with the truth of how you're feeling and why you're doing the things that you're doing. You're going to sit with your attitudes. You're going to sit with sometimes your inability to trust God in the way that he's asking you to trust him. You're going to sit with the fact that you have a short temper. You're going to sit with the fact that when you get stressed, you go back to bad habits. You've got to sit with the fact that you constantly keep making the wrong choices in relation. You've got to sit with the fact and say, God, renew me. Here I am. I'm not hiding anything else away from you. There's secrets and behaviors that you've hidden for years because you didn't want to deal with it, but that did not deal with it by avoiding it. Soul therapy is committing that no matter how ugly things get, I'm going to take my time and figure out what's going on on the inside of me. You got to sit with that bitterness. You got to sit with that unforgiveness. You got to sit with that offense. Those areas you said that, no, they crossed the line, so I will never. You got to sit with that. Say, what about what they did really got to you at your core? Next week when we continue this, I want to talk about what does it mean to actually renew your mind. We tell people to renew their mind all the time, but what does that mean? Stand to your feet.